Come on, everybody. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord and give God some praise. Come on, let's light this place up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, we praise you and glorify your name. Your name is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Neither is there salvation given in any other. For there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, we praise your name tonight, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. God bless you. So good to be back at Harvest Ministries. Amen, somebody. Woo! I have been so pumped about getting here this weekend. It's just a great church to be around. And of course, the McCoys are absolutely tops. Amen. Forget them Hatfields. The McCoys is just the best. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated for just a moment. We will just stand in another moment here to read the Word. But before we get to the Word, I'm excited about this weekend. Your pastor has already talked about it, but I am really, really jazzed. This is my thing, these block parties, park stuff, crusade services. We're going to pray a bunch of people through the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I'm excited about it. But we can't pray people through the Holy Ghost unless they're in the house. So we need you to get some people here that needs the Holy Ghost. Snatch them up, tie them up, throw them in your back seat, whatever it takes. Let's pack the house out Sunday. Tomorrow's going to be a great day at the park. I'm going to be just losing my mind. We're going to be touching people. The praise team's going to be singing praise and worship in the park. Amen. We're going to get up there and hit it. Just give them a hot spot about some word and try to draw them in. I thought we'd get a horse trough for baptisms, but it might be a little chilly for that. But they will get stammering lips when they come out of that water. And the Bible does say, with a stammering lip and an unknown tongue, you shall know my people. So maybe, I don't know, maybe we ought to get rid of them baptismal heaters back there. Praise God. I am so excited. And in a serious moment, I am so honored to be here. I love Brother and Sister McCoy very, very much. I've watched them from a distance in Texas and did a phenomenal job with the circumstances that they faced in pastoring where they were, as well as the Texas District Youth President just did a phenomenal job. And I am excited about them being here in Springfield. Praise God. If you, and again, this is only by permission of your pastor. If your pastor says don't do it, then don't do it. But it's Facebook and live. Amen. And that's a great outreach. Folks, for a year we did small groups, and I sat in my office and taught our church because of the DFW and getting off of work, couldn't get to church in a midweek. So I just taught them via Facebook Live. I averaged 250 people. They were coming from all over the place and commenting. And then one guy that I know that's got quite the following on Facebook posted on his page, hey, y'all need to listen to this. This used to be my pastor when I was a boy. The number went to 30,000 people I was talking to that night. So that stuff works. So, folks, if it's okay with your pastor on Crusade Day, when we get here Sunday and they strike up Facebook Live, sneak your phone out, go to your Facebook page and share it real quick and encourage people to log in to that crusade service. The last crusade we did on a national level in Houston, Texas, at the General Conference, we had 13,000 in the house, okay? We had 4,000 people receive the Holy Ghost in one service. 1,000. Listen to me, 1,000 of those was all over the U.S. and the world because they were broadcasting it. You never know. One church in Chile, a church of 50 people, the pastor had the Holy Ghost, but nobody in the church had the Holy Ghost. They logged in to the General Conference Crusade that night, and all 50 people received the Holy Ghost. We were getting emails. My children just got the Holy Ghost in their pajamas sitting in the living room watching the crusade service on the internet. I'm telling you, folks, it works. So if it's okay with your pastor, let's get that thing spread on Facebook Live. Who knows what's going to happen on Sunday afternoon? God's going to do something. I do know that. Somebody shout amen. Are you excited about this weekend? It's Holy Ghost weekend. Amen, somebody. It's time to win the lost for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Where'd that organist go? I need some Pentecostal culture, man. Don't leave me up here by myself. I need that crutch. There we go, Bo. Weren't you just, you were on the keyboard. I thought you was playing the bass. No, you, okay. I just stick to preaching. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Amen. I did a little construction job when I was evangelizing, and my uncle was around. He kept checking my work, and he finally looked at me and said, Ed, don't ever give up preaching. You'll starve to death. I guess things were kind of crooked. But I can preach straight. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, look, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through verse 7. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Listen closely. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and and for my name's sake, has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candle out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I do also hate, that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I want to preach to you a little bit on this Friday night, getting us ready for this weekend, revival or removal. Revival or removal. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your anointing that we already feel in this place. Oh God, anoint every ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. Anoint every mind to comprehend what is being said tonight. Anoint every heart to receive Spirit and Word. Anoint my lips of clay, my mind, my soul, and my spirit to preach unto this people what you want preached here tonight. In Jesus' name, God, we pray that you will pour out your power on this house. Lord, let there be a strong spirit of conviction that will convict us, move us, change us tonight, God. Don't just stir us, but change us deep within our spirit. In Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. There is a vast difference when we talk about revival and crusades. There's a difference between outreach, really, and evangelism. Outreach is what we're going to do tomorrow in the park, reaching out to the community. Evangelism is all about relationship. When you evangelize your neighborhood, your workplace, your school, or wherever, you are building relationships to be able to talk to somebody and say, this is where you are, but I'm going to take you where you need to be, and they will let you. Outreach, again, is handing a flyer, making an invitation, striking up a conversation in the coffee shop, in the grocery store, or wherever you do business, or in our case, in the park tomorrow, or making some calls and say, we want to bring you out to Harvest Ministries for the crusade that we're having, because Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock is not about you, it's about them. It's about the new ones coming in. It's about those guests that's been coming from time to time. It's about praying people through to the Holy Ghost. It's about new babes being born in the kingdom of God. Amen, somebody. But you cannot have evangelism. You cannot have outpourings of the Holy Ghost unless you have first revival. Because revival is about us. Revival is simply reviving us to where we need to be. Let me tell you something, folks. The preacher is not the only one that builds a church. We all build the church together. And it's not just the pastor or the guest speaker or the evangelist that has the anointing of God on them. You have the anointing of God on you. Every day of your life, it needs to be flowing in you and through you, because you meet people every day that I'll never see. The logo of, or the model of the United Pentecostal Church is the whole gospel to the whole world. How is one church in Springfield, Missouri going to take the whole gospel to the whole world? Well, when you really think about that, if we can get anointed of God, if we can get revived and go back to our old paths, amen, that old-fashioned, well, I'll get to that in just a minute. I got some good stuff to share with you on that one. Amen. But I'm telling you, friend, we've got to get to the place that we once was. We got to have revival. We need the anointing of God to flow on us, because we got a world that needs one to God. I'm telling you, the signs of the time are taking place. It is end time. Amen. It is the end of the age. And we don't have very much days left. We've got to work while it is yet day. For the night cometh, and there will be no more work. Amen. Amen. But if you think about the whole gospel to the whole world and you start understanding its real concept, you meet people that I'll never see in my entire life. In fact, matter, you'll meet people that Pastor McCoy will never meet in his entire life unless they walk through these doors. I'll see and meet and talk to people in Dallas and in Irving that you'll never see in your entire lifetime. Each one of us has an entire world all to ourselves. It's not about the church as a whole trying to reach the whole God or take the whole gospel to the whole world. It's every individual inside of every church that's reaching that group of people that people will never see because they belong to you. It's your mission field. It's your place that God has placed you. Your workplace, your school, your set of friends, your places of business. You meet all kinds of people that the person next to you, in front of you, behind you, on these church pews will never meet in their life. Each of us have a responsibility to take the whole gospel unto the whole world. Amen. How can that happen? It's going to take some power. It's going to take some anointing. Now, I understand that there's a lot of churches that may not preach the whole truth, and they've got lots of people coming into their buildings. They have large crowds, but we're not talking about building a crowd. We're talking about building a church. We're talking about guarantees to heaven. Amen, somebody. Oh, I'm getting to the nitty-gritty here tonight. Amen. I hope somebody in this house can receive the word. I hope somebody in our Facebook audience is listening very closely tonight, because you and I have got to get revived, or we're going to get taken out of the equation, and God will put somebody else in your place to reach that world that you're in. We've got truth. We've got the anointing of God. We've got the power of God. It comes through the doctrine that we believe. Amen. I tell our church back home, the Solid Rock Church is Pentecostal by experience. It is apostolic by doctrine. And it is holiness by lifestyle. That is the doctrine of the apostles. We live the word and we obey the word. And therefore God honors it and God blesses it. And God puts an anointing and a power. That's why people that's not familiar with this comes around us and says, there's something different about you. There's something powerful about you. I feel something coming off of you. Why? Because it's the way we live. It's what we stand for. Oh, somebody shout amen. Jeremiah said, stand ye in the ways. Now there's you gotta understand what that means. Some people have been in the church for 75 years and they've been in the way. Not that kind of way. You know, the mentality, well, we always did it this way. If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always gotten. And if you always get nothing, it's time to change. I can't win anybody to the Lord. Nobody comes to church with me. Then you need to change. I got a few. Amen, somebody. I just hit the crust. Boom. Yep. Time to dig down. Get the drill out. We're going to drill down a little bit. Stand ye in the ways. Ways. How we live. How we bring about revival. How we bring about an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Tonight we're looking for revival. Sunday we're looking for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Tonight we're going to get prayed through on fire, fired up, changed, excited, motivated. But Sunday we're going to pull out all the stops and we're going to bring down the power and the glory and we're going to have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost and people are going to get revived. Backsliders are going to get healed of their backsliding, and new ones are going to receive the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Stand ye in the ways and see. It's not time to leave. It's time to lock in. Amen. And ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And you're going to find rest for your soul. I told our young church in Irving, I said, y'all don't know what real church is all about. You about die if I say we're going to have an extra night of church in the week. In fact, I work extremely hard trying to get you to midweek Bible study. I'm telling our church this. This ain't a once-a-week club. This is church. I'm a fifth generation, I think I shared this with you last time I was here. I'm fifth generation Pentecostal. White Way Tabernacle, Walter S. Gwynn. My great grandmother received the Holy Ghost under him, raised my grandmother. My grandmother raised my mother, and my mother raised us. And now I've got another generation of my son. My daughter's not doing what she needs to be doing, but she's got it in her, and it will come back around. Amen. Back in my grandmother's day, when my mother was a teenager, they started revival on Monday night. And had, there's some laughing, they're like, yeah, I remember that one. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, morning, Sunday night. For 6 weeks straight. Where'd y'all go? Yeah, you's kind of excited about, 7 days. 6 weeks. If you were an unchurched person at White Way Tabernacle in those days, and if you came to the altar and knelt down, if Mabel Burris, which is my grandmother, knelt down beside you, you might as well start talking in tongues because you're not getting up until you do. She was one of the most fantastic altar workers you'd ever want to meet and had no clue what she was doing. Hello? Yeah. She'd pray them through. And she'd be there till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. 6 weeks, 7 days a week, 6 weeks, 2 or 3 in the morning. Yeah, I just lost you again. And then, Brother McCoy, she had another special ministry. She'd pray them through the Holy Ghost, get them all filled with the Spirit, and said, come over here, honey. I got somebody I want you to meet. And she'd matchmake. Half the church was married because of Mabel Burris. My wife tried that years ago. I tried to, that's a special calling and anointing, honey. Don't try that stuff. It'll backfire these days. That's what I'm talking about. People not afraid to do what it takes to make it happen. I remember a mother telling me, oh, son, I remember when Brother Gwynn compromised. I'm like, compromised? What are you talking about? Yeah, he gave us Monday night off during revival so the ladies can wash their hair. Oh, somebody shout amen. Ask for the old paths. Prayer meetings. Back in those days, there was an empty lot next to White Way Tabernacle, Blair and Warren in Old North St. Louis. And Brother Gwynn set up a tent in that lot next door to the church. And there is where they would have church every week. Every day they had service. It was under the tent during the summer, and the noise would be broadcasted throughout the, that was their Facebook Live back then, is crank up the PA system and let's have church. They were unashamed of shouting and dancing on the dirt ground out in front of the whole neighborhood. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and God honored it, and God brought it, amen, and that place grew and grew and grew, amen. Somebody, let's go back to the turn of the century at Azusa Street when an old black man with one eye stuck his head in his pulpit made up of orange crates, and half the time he was praying and travailing while people were walking into 312 Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California, falling under the anointing of God. People were getting the Holy Ghost three blocks away. They were riding on a train through LA, suddenly felt something.
something and said, stop the train, and got off and started walking and wound up at 312 Azusa Street. We need to ask for the old paths. We need to get back to that dedication and that commitment. We need a revival. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord. Give God some praise. Come on, everybody. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. God, give us revival. God, turn me upside down. We move to the book of Revelation, to the church of Ephesus. God looked at them and began to compliment. And he brought out some things. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. You see, the church of Ephesus had some things going on. They were doing some things right. They were sticking to the program, if you please. I know thy works. You're working like there's nobody's business. You're doing everything you can to make stuff happen. I know thy labor. You work hard at what you're doing. I'm reading a book right now called 10X. Do everything 10 times harder. Not harder as in complicated, but work 10 times harder so that you can get 10 times the result. Wonder if we'd apply that concept to our living for God, to our evangelism, to our outreach. It's not about us, folks, not anymore. It was about you when you hit this altar. It was about you when you were a young convert and you got discipled. Now you're discipled. Now you're on your own two feet spiritually. Now it's not about you. It's about them. It's about that lost world. It's about those neighbors and those coworkers. That's who it's all about. Start working hard to fill a pew. You tried them that claimed to be an apostle and found out they were liars. God recognized the church of Ephesus. For thy name's sake hast thou labored. You were diligent in your duty. We have duties as a Christian. We pay our tithes. We give of our offerings. We're faithful in attendance to church. We live right. We live holy. We don't cuss. We don't carouse. We don't drink. We don't want to get involved in all that sin. We get as far away from that line as we can. Somebody shout amen. You're patient in your suffering. Nobody said. Nowhere in the book does it say that when we get the Holy Ghost, we're going to have a $100,000 surplus in our bank account. And we're going to live in a new house. And we're going to drive a new car every 2 years. And our kids are going to be so well behaved we can't stand it. Honorary Street just hit me. My son's turning 20 next Saturday. I'm thankful because they told me, and it's true, that kids go brain dead about 12. And they wake up about somewhere between 18 and 20. My son is waking up. I'm not as dumb as a box of rocks now that he thought I was. I've actually got some intelligence now. He's actually said, Dad, what do you think? And I'm like, what? You want to know what I think? I didn't know I could think. I see all these parents laughing, say, oh, God, I remember. Oof. Whew. Sometimes God looks at us saying, I can't wait till you wake up. I can't wait till you come out of the fog and realize that I am God. But when we go through the trials, he's telling the church of Ephesus, you're patient in your suffering. It's not enough that we are diligent, but we must be patient. No Christian can be without it. Patience works virtue. Don't ever pray for patience. God will give you another kid to go brain dead on you. He complimented them for their zeal against that which is evil. Hated sin, but loved the sinner. I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. You see, that may sound like a lot of us. We're diligent in our duties. We're patient in our sufferings. We're going to call them out that say they're apostles and they're really not who they say they are. We're going to find what sin and get rid of it. We're going to go by the rule book and we're going to live correctly and to the T, and that's all wonderful and that's all good. And we're going to hate sin, but we got to love the sinner. But the rebuke came in verse 4 when God looked at the church of Ephesus and said, "Thou hast left thy first love." Not left and forsaken the object of your love. Maybe there's somebody here that's struggling with this very thing. You still love God and you still honor God and you still respect God, but you've lost that first love. You remember when you first got the Holy Ghost, you couldn't wait to get to church. When I was a kid growing up under Brother Guy Rome. And here's another one. Whew. Listen, that man preaches like eating raw horseradish. It burned all the way down. But boy, you couldn't find somebody to love you like Guy Rome. But we had church on, I tell our church back home too, we had church on Tuesday night, Thursday night, youth service Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and you better be at all of them. 5 days a week. Now, that's a little compromise from Walter Gwynn days of 7 days, six weeks, but it was still a commitment. We loved going to church. You know those new converts, they want to have church every night of the week. I can't wait to get in my Bible. I got a new convert right now. She's, I was going to say, she's driving me crazy. She's not driving me crazy in a bad way. But, I mean, she reads her Bible every single day. Pastor, I read this the other day. Can you tell me about it? She's keeping me on my toes. And guess what? I love it. I tell some folks, we need a baptism of new convertism. We need to get rid of our maturity in God. Because some people get mature in God and they die. Hello? We need to get revived. We need to shout. We need to dance. We need to get so excited about living for Jesus that we just can't stand ourselves. Amen, somebody. Remember, as for the old paths, let's go back to our first love. That when we first got the Holy Ghost, man, I can't wait to tell you about Jesus. I got a guy, and I'm not bragging. I'm trying to give you an example. Please don't take it as a brag about what's happening in Irving. I'm just excited about what's going on there, and I want to spill it off into you. But I got a guy that called me at 15 after 6, and somebody's come pick me up at 6:30, and I'm like, "Hey, Brother Ray, how you doing, man?" "Oh, good, Pastor. Guess what happened at work? I met this lady, and I got to talking to her and inviting her out to church, and she wants to come to our end time Bible." Almost every day, Ray's calling me about somebody he's witnessed to, and it drives him nuts if he can't not teach in a Bible study. Hello? Revival or removal. Don't lose that fervent degree
of that we first had. Of can't wait to get to church, can't wait to tell somebody about Jesus. Could it be that we've gotten a little, that they got a little out of balance, and maybe we are getting a little out of balance? We worry about keeping everything really squeaky clean, but we left the mission of the church. Oh, somebody shout amen. Traditions are good, and I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. I'm slowing way down, and I'm not screaming, because I want you to hear me and hear me clear. Traditions are good, especially when they are laced up with Scripture. But when traditions come to the point, well, we've always done it that way, then it becomes a problem. Getting somebody today, just let's be honest, to commit to a Search for Truth Bible study once a week, every week for 12 weeks is challenging. But getting them to connect with a coffee, 1 hour, they'll do that. Our times have changed. Our doctrine has not changed. But our delivery of the doctrine probably might want to change. Hello? Never, I'm slowing down, never veer away from the doctrine of God. We've had some good times in the Lord, and we're going to have some more good times in the Lord. But we've got to step out of our box. We got to get out into the spirit realm. There's so much more that God can do, but we need a revival, or we're going to get removed. God is wanting us to keep up with the times and reach our cities, that we can reach our cities, whatever methods that we can use to get to the gospel, get the gospel to the people. Let's use them. Facebook Live, Instagram, social media. Get it out there. Get the word out there. Whatever it takes. Back in the day, people would say, you need to be saved. And they'd do it. Now, I'm from here. And there's a reason they say Missouri is the show me state. Bunch of hardheads all in one state. And I'm one of them. Amen, somebody. Back in the day when my mother was growing up in church, if you walked in the church with your shirt tail out, Brother Gwinnett stopped and said, boy, get out of here and get that shirt tail tucked in. And guess what they would do? Go out, tuck it in, come back in. Today. You tell somebody that, bye-bye. They don't have to come here. You see what I'm talking about? Feel the anointing of God coming in this house. Come on, somebody. Musicians, come on right now. I just felt God move in this place right now. It's time for revival. It's time. God has somewhat against us. Something a little bit wrong here. We got to get back to our first love. We got to get back to that enthusiasm. We got to get that fire stoked in our spirit. Amen. That I can't wait to get to church. It's a joy to come to church. It's not a duty. It's not cumbersome. It's not a burden. I love coming to church. And I love serving God. Come on, somebody. Let's get back to that place where we first found him. Let's go back. Let's go back. Let's go back. Remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your candlestick out. We're faced with an extreme option: revival or removal. It's time. It's not by might,
nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You need to clean out the junk, the debris, the disappointments, the hurts, the bitterness, the offenses. Get them out of your spirit, because it's interrupting the flow of your innermost being in the anointing of God. I believe we live in an hour where they don't have to come to church to receive the Holy Ghost. You can pray them through on the job. You can pray them through at the restaurant. You can pray them through at the dry cleaners. You can pray them through in the school parking lot. Wherever you're at, lay hands on them and pray for them, and they can receive the Holy Ghost, and then bring them to church and get them discipled and get them connected to a church that they can start living according to the Word. I'm talking about an end time outpouring of the Holy Ghost that's only going to come from a revival in our spirit. There is a deep move of God in this house. There is a deep conviction of the Holy Ghost in this place. This altar is open. Why don't you come? Let's spend some time around this altar. And let's dig deep. Let's drill down hard into our spirit. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit, that I can be pleasing unto you, God. I want God to be happy with me. I want God to be pleased with me. Oh God, clean out our spirit. Garbage and junk that has collected through the years, reveal to us right now what's hindering the uninterrupted flow of the Spirit. I feel a spirit of travail coming over this church right now. Come on, flow in a spirit of travail. Oh God, I want revival in my spirit. I want revival. I don't want removal. Shut up, Abba. He la rababo.